KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Eddie Hughes, along with my co-host, Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko. Good morning, Jim. Good to have you in the studio today.
Awesome to be here. Thank you again for having me here, and glad to be in person here this time. So,
yeah, awesome. Always a pleasure to have our co-host here in the studio and talk about Fresno State sports. It's a busy season. Got Fresno State baseball, softball right in the thick of things, in the thick of conference races. Yep. Coming off basketball season, successful for men's and women's. Yep. And, you know, the last time we talked was just before that run in the NCAA tournament for the men's basketball team, the runs in the Mountain West tournament for both teams. Talk about that experience and just how exciting it was to be around the Red Wave.
Well, first of all, it was great. And, you know, I want to add women's tennis to the mix, too, because they're having a great season. They have a chance to win the conference and go on, and our track team is doing great, and we've set some records. But you go from the highs and the lows to the Mountain West tournament when the women had it down to the last second and lost in two free throws, and then the men won it. It's part of college athletics where you just have the highs and lows of what the emotion brings to it. And congrats to Jamie, and we kind of locked her into a long-term contract. And Rodney, you know, after we haven't gone to the postseason since 2002, I think it was, and he did it. And our three seniors, we had Mangle last night, and The three seniors have done a great job, and the foundation is built for future, and our spring has been awesome, from basketball to tennis and women's golf team and men's golf team and track and baseball and softball have been doing great. So it's, and they're graduating, their GPAs are high, so right now it's a good time for us.
With all these sports going on, how many nights a week are you out at an event right now?
About every night, it seems like, but it's what our job is. You know, you can say a lot of goods and bads, but last night, you know, Coach DeRuiter's staff at head coach's social, then I went to baseball for a while, and it's good to have our coaches work together and have fun, but we know it's part of the overall university, and we're going to do the best we can to graduate our kids and rise together. President Castro always says rise together, academics, athletics, together as one, and we're going to keep doing that.
So you were in Las Vegas a couple weeks ago for the Mountain West tournament, yep. Men's and women's. Men's team won the tournament, first time they've won the men's tournament. As you mentioned, yeah. They hadn't been to the NCAAs since 2001. Yeah. And the women's team looked like they were going to win the tournament. Had a pretty heartbreaking last-second loss against Colorado State. Talk about just the emotion you saw from that team.
First of all, 9 days in Vegas is way too many times. I mean, and I didn't gamble at all, so I went to bed early every night. But it was like, you know, you have the women's tournament starting on Sunday, and then you go through Sunday again. Get there Saturday. It's a long time in Vegas. But watching the men win and seeing them cut down the nets and seeing Rodney having the last, you know, deal, but then also seeing the women's emotions in the locker room post-game when they had the game won and you lost on a foul that was a foul or maybe not a foul, but they made both free throws and we missed a running layup. And it just shows you emotion, how much winning means to these kids. And it was very special to see it. You see the highs and lows. And then we went and had a chance to beat Utah. Didn't get it done. Watson hit that three to take the lead, and thought we had a chance, and then they won that 16-2 run, and we still had a chance. So it's it shows you where we're at, and we're gonna get there. And we've got a great group of coaches, a great group of kids that believe that Fresno can win and not be satisfied with being in the middle of the pack. We're gonna try to win everything we do. And right now, softball, baseball, golf, tennis are all competing for championships. So we're gonna keep doing it.
Like you mentioned, the women's basketball team, they've really carried the banner as far as postseason success, right, as much as any program here at Fresno State. The last few years, they've got 9 straight postseason appearances. Yeah. 7 of those are in the NCAA tournament. Now the men's team's headed that direction, too. It's got to be a positive sign. But how do you plan to parlay that success from this season into bigger things for men's basketball in the future?
Well, I think what it shows, the biggest thing I wanted to do to our coaches is give them the resources to succeed. Make sure they know we're not here to be just okay. We want to compete every single year for championships. Not going to happen every year. You're going to have injuries. Football had a down year last year. Obviously, 3-9 is not acceptable. Tim knows that, and our spring went great with football. We've done our facilities, and baseball had some tough losses midweek, and big weekend this week were, you know, a couple games behind New Mexico, and had them, you know, last weekend for a couple wins. But softball off to a great start, so we're just gonna keep plugging away. And there's a balancing act between winning every game and graduating and being part of the community and everything else. We want all three of them.
I was thinking about that just recently with so many teams in the mix for Mountain West championships this year. You know, men's basketball just won one. You've got women's tennis looking good, went undefeated at home. Baseball and softball right in the thick of things. I remember when you got the job here as athletics director, you said you want to come in and compete for championships in every sport. Yeah. And we're starting to see a trend, it seems like. Is this what you envisioned?
Yeah, it is. And I can't take full credit for it. I just want to make sure the coaches know that we're not going to be satisfied with just being okay. They need to know that we're going to give them the resource that we can. I mean, we're not going to compete against the salaries for Michigan and the budgets for those schools. But we're going to expect our teams to compete in the Mountain West Conference and do it the right way and have great success. So we have great leadership from the top down, from the president and everybody else, all except Frank Lamas and his show that he's got following me. So our rating is going to be much higher than his will be. So he's the one I got to rip on a little bit because his radio show.
Yeah, he's got Frank Lamas, our vice president for student affairs and enrollment.
I'm joking on that one.
He's got his own show, The Student Spotlight, starting this Sunday at 10:30 a.m. on KFSR. So it'll be fun to have a few different cabinet members get some insight for the listeners.
That's great. We have the best cabinet. I've been in athletics now 30 years. Great people. And I'm giving Frank a bad time. Just, you know, I already had a radio show. So it's kind of like ratings would be much lower for that side compared to athletics. But I'm just kidding, by the way.
All kidding aside, Frank Lamas showed some exciting plans of his own yesterday with the renderings for what could be a new student union, sort of a vision for that. Yep. Did you get a chance to check those out yet?
I've seen those, and we're all looking to build different facilities. We're on pace for our stadium project, and we all want to work together, Paula and in development. Obviously, our donors have different opinions of what they want to give to, and we need to all work together to make sure we're doing the right way. And stadium is on pace. And I know the student center and the faculty building, everything that Frank wants to do, is probably a year farther down the road than ours. We're going to do phase one of our stadium this summer. And it'll probably be a year before we do phase two and phase three. But by 19, we'll hopefully, knock on wood, some ways to go. We have to get the bids out and we have to do all the state issues. But we have donors very interested and the stadium needs to happen and we're going to keep going.
For people who haven't heard yet about the stadium renovation, talk about some of the amenities you're looking to add, your staff's looking to add, that will benefit the community, benefit the Red Wave who attend games there.
Well, I think there's really, for us, there's four parts to it. First part is just the fencing. I've never been a fan of all the different fencing with the barbed wire. And when I first got here, I was like, gosh, there's fencing for fencing for fencing. And so we're going to tear down some of the fencing this summer, put up new fencing with branding in it. We don't want to put up new fencing and then have to knock it down when we actually come in and build the stadium. We'll probably add more fencing, nice fencing and branding once phase two is done. But then phase two is for the fans. It's not really for money. It's to help our egress for our fans that are maybe, instead of walking up 60 rows and then down 40 rows, what's the better way to get in? Restrooms, concession stands, just bringing the stadium up to park. It's 32 years old right now. Phase three would be where we're going to make the money, and that's what will help pay for it all. It'll be the sky building, sky boxes, load suites, new press box. You know, right now our press is up on the top in the tent. You have ESPN here. It affects our TV ratings. It affects our TV audience because they don't want to come here, you know, so we have to fix that. It's like an old house. If you have an old house and you don't do anything for 35 years, something's going to have to happen at some point. It could be not be my tenure, but if we don't do it now, it's going to be a lot more money 10 years from now. We need to get it done. We have our fans that are excited for it. We have people that are the naming rights. We're working on that right now. Hopefully by June, we'll have that done, which will be a big part of it. It'll always be Bulldog Stadium, but there might be a name to it. And then we need some lead gifts to get going. This summer, we'll kick it off, and it'll be a year from now before we get going.
And when you talk about something like a naming rights deal, is that kind of that first seed that allows you to have the foundation where you can start building? You can break ground on some things?
You have to get the architect on board first, which we'll put the RFP out here pretty soon. And then it goes through the state process and they do the bidding and they'll give you a budget, a maximum price budget. And then we'll go back to the chancellor's office and he'll have to say, I approve that if you raise this amount of money. But the naming rights obviously will help that cost of whatever we're doing. Then we need some lead gifts, sell the boxes, and go from there.
Now, do you have to raise the entire amount during the project? How does that whole process work?
That's still part of what we're thinking right now is you have to probably get the sky boxes committed over a 20-year period. You have to probably get pledges over a 10-year period, get naming rights. You don't need to raise it all, but you need to show the revenue stream that'll help pay for it before the state will approve it, and then get the money come in. So there's a lot of things we have to do still, but we need to get the momentum going.
I know in the more immediate future with the new season coming up in September, it sounds like the fencing and branding and some of that will happen before this season.
It'll happen in June and start in June and be done. Again, we probably want to do more fencing this year than we are. But once we kind of looked at where the architects are going to come in and start knocking down stuff, you don't want to build a brand new fence and have structure come in and knock it all down and redo it again. So we're going to do what we can without having be in the way of phase two and phase three, but there will be work done this summer. People will see us the start, and we'll go far from there.
When you're talking about the fencing and the branding, talk a little bit about what that exactly entails and which fences those are.
Well, I think if people just drive around the footprint of Bulldog Stadium, you'll see some nice wrought iron fences, and you'll see some barbed
wire.
It's chain link fence, and it's kind of bad. So we want to make it consistent, then we want to have some brandy elements that, you know, that shows what we're going to be doing. And have a branding element that'll lead us into Bulldog Avenue. That's not just for football. It's for softball, baseball, lacrosse, soccer, all the sports that'll all help won't be football oriented. So it's going to be everything.
Will that be the fence that's the closest to the actual stadium? Will that be coming out
more
of a...
all around the footprint of Bulldog Stadium. Half of it's done, half it's not. We'll finish the other half and then get rid of some of the fencing around baseball. Maybe ultimately, hopefully, knock on wood, once you're in those gates, you're in the stadium. And that's kind of the hope that we have, is that you're not having to walk out and go different places. And we have some work to do still.
Sounds like a plan. I know Kevin, our producer, had a question he wanted to ask about football and as it relates to the success men's basketball had this year.
Jim, I just was wondering, with the success that the men's basketball team had going to the dance in March Madness, do you feel that with the season that the football team had last year, do you feel that it puts an added pressure on the team to perform and, you know, have a better season just because of how well basketball did this year?
Well, I think it puts pressure on everybody a little bit. Our new coaches have come in. I think we have 6 new coaches on football, 6, 7 maybe new coaches. You can't expect them to come in day one and change. We had to have a recruiting class come in. We had to stay healthy, recruit to what their system is, change a little bit. I was out at spring ball a lot, went to spring game. I think we look a lot better. Nothing against the previous coaches, but I think there's an added atmosphere of excitement, enthusiasm, and leadership. We have 2 great coordinators, one of the better two that will any school in America. I don't care if it's Pac-12 or SEC has. Between, you know, Lorenzo and Eric Kiesau, we're very lucky to have those two. And it might take them a year to get the kids they want. If we can stay healthy, we'll be fine. So it's football. We'll look at basketball and kind of go, they did it. We need to do it also. But then you also have softball and women's tennis. And I think every sport needs to feed off what those programs are doing.
Kevin and I were both out at the spring game as well. Great atmosphere out there. Yeah. Doing interviews afterward, coaches and players. That cool. Those aired last week on the show. A lot of enthusiasm, a lot of optimism from the team. Yeah. And then we saw the big Bulldog yard sale that we had.
It's still going on, yeah.
I think almost 7,000 items sold. Yeah. Talk about that and what it does. Sort of a little extra cherry on top for the budget.
Yeah, it is, but, you know, honestly, we probably shouldn't have that much stuff for the last 4 years in inventory, too. There's a plus and minus to it, too. We should probably order what we need to order, not over. We're looking at how we inventory items and everything else, and that's part of our budget process. But having our fans have the opportunity to get some, you know, Joe Bernardi came out before the spring game and saw his jersey hanging up from 5, 6 years ago and put that up there and said, this ought to go for $1,000. And he's great. I mean, you talk about a Bulldog through and through, having Joe Bernardi out there and other guys that bleed Bulldog spirit. He's the one that's going to help that passion for bring us back to where we were a few years ago.
And Joe Bernardi was previously on the staff at Oregon. Did you know him when you were at Oregon as well?
Very well, yeah.
You probably already got a sense of his Bulldog pride.
Oh, the minute I got the job, he's like, hey, job opens up down there. I want to come. And he goes, I don't care if it's Michigan. I'll turn down Michigan to go to Fresno because that's where I want to be. And he got engaged last week. He was on Twitter if he saw that picture. And he'll bring the passion. You'll see the silent. One thing I saw the sign last year is I don't think once things went south, I didn't see them, you know, it's going bad, let's fix this. You need the passion like a Joe on the sidelines going, let's get this thing going, don't give up, and let's battle back. It'll bring that passion back to what we need. It'll bring that Bulldog spirit back.
Going more to Kevin's point, too, about, you know, success breeding success throughout the programs, it's kind of what you want. It's not necessarily a bad thing when one person's doing good and the other team's trying to compete with that, right?
They all know the expectations. I mean, you always want, first and foremost, graduate kids, involved in the community, great success, and you want to win. And I'm not sure what order those come in, but we're here to make sure our kids are the most successful. Very few kids go to pro, very few, but there's no reason that Fresno State can't dominate the Mountain West. And we've got to be always, you're not always going to win a conference championship, but we got to be in the hunt every year. I don't care if it's swimming or lacrosse or volleyball or tennis, we should always be trying to win the conference championship. If you don't, you don't. But we got to be there, and that's a goal.
As a lot of our listeners know, my day-to-day job is editor for Fresno State Magazine. We've got a new issue coming out later this month, and that's one of the themes that we're kind of seeing through our sports section in the magazine. We've got a big story on Cesar Guerrero and the adversity he's overcome academically.
Phenomenal.
He's been here. Now he's on track to graduate in about a month from now. Pretty exciting story for him, and he shared a lot of personal anecdotes to his upbringing and advice his mom gave him during his tough times and things like that.
Well, you know, we had the senior banquet, and just seeing what he's battled through from high school to early days here, it shows you what college athletics can do to give kids the opportunity. We had a kid at Oregon that barely made it years ago. His grades weren't very good, and he was, you know, he had a status first year, but he graduated. He's now got 3 kids, lives in Eugene, does youth camps, does clinics. It would not have been possible if he would not have gotten a scholarship and got a degree. He would have probably still been, he was from Dorsey High School in L.A. and probably still be down there. And probably Cesar, probably the same way. He got an opportunity, struggled early on, but now you look at him and how appreciative he is and what a great kid. We're going to miss him a lot next year.
I would imagine those are the stories that the Red Wave, the Bulldog Foundation members who are donating to the scholarship fund just love to hear. Those people that got an opportunity, made the best of it.
Yep.
and really capitalized, and their life became better because of it.
Well, that's what athletics can do. I mean, it can give kids that maybe aren't the best biologist or business, but they have successes. And once they get into school, go from bad upbringings, I mean, some do, some don't. Discipline and change their lives. And again, 1% go pro, the rest of them are going to be in the business field. So
we haven't touched base on this yet either today, but we also have a story on the Warmer Dam field renovation. Yep. The track and field, the whole facility there, yep, really is being given a facelift, yep, a much needed facelift. It's been a while since that's been updated as well.
Much so needed, by the way.
It's not just the football stadium, it's the women's tennis facility, the track and field facility, a lot of facilities getting brought up to, yep, speed. Talk about what's going on in track.
First of all, kudos to the campus for their vision and the help that they're giving us to get these things done. Our donors that have stepped up, bringing back wrestling and water polo. We're down to 3 or 4 finalists for wrestling right now, and water polo will be a couple weeks. But when I first walked out the track and knowing the kids came and run on the track, gotta go, if we're gonna have a sport, let's do it the right way. And we got some very help from a lot of people, campus included, to get it done. And Red Estes and a few others kind of helped lead the charge and the fundraising effort. But our athletes, if we're gonna have kids and we gotta want them to be the best, want them to succeed, want them to compete, you gotta have a field where they can actually run. That track was 50, 40 some years old, and kids can't run it. It was hard and injured players. And so tennis is the same way. We had 3 or 4 donors step up and pay for that and helped us out a lot. We're very fortunate here in Fresno to have people in the Valley here to help people out, helped us.
We talked to Red Estes for the story. We talked to the current coach, Scott Windsor, as well. But Red Estes, who many listeners might be familiar with, won 10 straight conference championships here at Fresno, yeah, State and track field. Just an unheard of number, really, for consecutive conference titles. But one of the same things he said was not many athletes are going to go pro to compete. They're going to make a difference in the community. He really harped on the difference they make with volunteering and community service, learning by serving,
yeah,
all that stuff. It seems like that's really emphasized in the athletics department right now.
Well, it's got to be, because we're not a minor league franchise. We're here to graduate our kids. And too many players come in. Even when I was at Oregon, I'd ask our athletes, how many of you want to go pro? And they'd all raise their hand. You know, all 399 of them raise their hand. Like, maybe one of you will, and the rest of you better get your degree. And you better learn. Kids here need to realize is that the pro avenue is a great vision, but you may not get there. And if you don't get there, what do you have left? Your degree. And a degree from Fresno State's great. And use your resources. You're getting free tuition. You're getting meals. You're getting a stipend now. You're getting cost of tuition. Use it and make the best you can of it.
And I saw where 50 Fresno State athletes just in the fall sports alone got academic All Mountain West honors. I think proof is in the pudding.
I think we led the league. I saw the stat. I think we're number one in the league on those stats. So academic advisors to our teachers and our faculty members, and we do it the right way. It's not like we cut corners and we don't write papers. We don't do stuff like that. Kids work hard and they volunteer hours. We've always been the top 2 in the league for getting out of the community and keep doing that.
We've heard President Castro's theme of academics and athletics rising together. Is that something that can really stick with student athletes and make an impression?
Well, first of all, we're very fortunate to have Dr. Castro leading us, because he's got a great vision for what this university is going to be. And athletics is a very small part of what the overall university does. We're one part of 20. But I think we are the window to a degree. And I think I might have said this before, but we are a window to help kind of bring 40,000 fans and ESPN to Fresno on a Saturday or Thursday or Friday or whatever day they pick our games. But if we're a good window, it can help Little Rock campus enroll and everything else. So we'll keep working on that.
Yeah, we've seen those studies before where, you know, winning in football and basketball, it affects student enrollment.
Yeah,
it affects giving.
Yeah.
It affects how many people are applying, yep, to your school. It's pretty amazing to think about how those numbers can really drill down like that.
Well, and I think if different departments here on campus use football game days to help with alumni, and whether it's ag or business or whatever it might be, having tailgaters, because there's no other event you're going to have that's going to be bigger than a football game day on a Saturday. You might have graduation, might bring in more, but we get our attendance back up to 38,000, 39,000. And when those people are in town, they're athletic fans, but they're also alumni of each different program on campus. And if we can have both those working together, and we're working hard to work with our campus development officers to say, you know, it's not just athletics. We're going to work together to make sure the donors know we're part of it. But if you want to give back to campus, we're team players and want to do the right thing.
And as far as student life and that student atmosphere, I know that can be a big draw, being at football games with, you know, 5,000, 10,000, yep, of your other, yep, students.
That's, yep, and we're looking. So we have a meeting in a couple of weeks on, this is Save Mart Center too, is can we get the students closer to the action and, you know, get a doghouse. You know, you Duke, you have the Cameron Crazies, and Oregon, you have the Pitt Crew. And can we make the students more part of the game? We'll look at all that right now and just see what's right and what's wrong. And I have dumb ideas, and if I get shot down, I'll get shot down. But we'll see if we can kind of make everything more fun for everybody.
Yeah, it seems like it'd be great to kind of get, you know, that type of student atmosphere. We've seen San Diego State's the show. in basketball, especially, really vocal group of fans. And I don't know if you almost need like a few students who are vocal who can lead that.
We need to find four or five students that want to be. At Oregon, we had to call the pick room. We had four people that were the board members, and we'd meet once every other week, and they would get there early and be 300 of them and line them up, and they'd have a chance ready to go. And can we do that here? I don't know if it's possible, but I'm dumb if I don't ask questions. So we'll see what happens.
Kevin Kirsten, our producer, he's a student himself right now. What do you think the typical, you know, game day or game week atmosphere is around a game? Do you feel more of a buzz on campus on those days?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, especially because I was at more than a couple basketball games last year. And yeah, everyone, even around campus, you could feel it, the energy. And when there's a game at night, a basketball game come up at night, to have something like that, our own signature, like, thing that you see every basketball game or every football game, like a crazy fan or a group of students leading something like that to set us apart, be something that would get Fresno State on the map and, you know, Sports Center be interested, you know, or College Game Day comes here and, you know, that's something that would bring them in for them to focus on, you know what I mean, and really set us out there.
I agree. I just think I've talked to a lot of students. They don't like being up in the end zone. They want to be closer, and our coaches want to have the students right there on top of the action, like you have a lot of places. But, you know, it's a different building and it's a different place, and we'll look at that, and if it can be done, it'll be done. If it can't, we'll engage the students and make it fun for them also.
Yeah, I know when I was a student here, I graduated in 2005, and the student section used to be right behind that visiting sideline at the football stadium, and I know there were some conference changes and things like that where they didn't want students necessarily behind the visiting team, but Is that an issue in the Mountain West?
We probably don't want them behind the visiting bench, but when we redo the stadium, we might move them closer to be in our bench, and, you know, we're going to look at all that right now. We're going to get a committee of students and faculty and donors to look at the drawings and get everybody engaged, just kind of see what's the best way to do it.
I know.
Yeah, because there's no way you have four or five of us in the building saying, here's how we're going to design it. You want input, and the students are what we're here for, and we'll get that going.
I guess it was last summer when you showed off those first renderings of what Bulldog Stadium could look like. Have those changed at all yet, or is that?
Nope. We tweaked it a bit. Now we have to get the architects engaged fully, which takes, you have to do an RFP and do an interview process. So that takes 3 or 4 months. We're starting that next week and go from there.
And then this weekend, starting yesterday, we had Vintage Days. I know you were out there having some fun. Talk about what you did out at Vintage Days.
Oh, it's my second year doing it. So the first year I was able to flip pancakes with our cabinet. Then the next day I judged food. I didn't get invited back to judge food. Maybe I vetoed the wrong person. But flipping pancakes with Frank and Joe and all the people, it was fun to do that. I'm a much better flipper than Dr. Lamas is, because, you know, he was behind on... I mean, I was trying to do it, so we had a line going, but no, I'm kidding.
Got to razz them a little.
But it's fun. It's a fun to see all the students out there. And even on Saturday, when I walked out a year ago, to see all the people that were students and the fraternities and the food booths. And I'm glad this year I won't have to eat the food, because trying to taste 38 food booths was a little tough when you're trying to eat 19 hamburgers and hot dogs and corn dogs, and you get kind of full. But it shows you the passion that our kids have, and the Fresno spirit. So it was fun.
Yeah, fun to get
so,
all.
So looking forward to tomorrow. Looking forward to the weekend, and it was fun doing the pancakes on Friday and doing that.
But always fun to see masses of people coming onto campus like that and getting engaged with the university. And then we've also got baseball and softball at home this
weekend
too.
And then, again, coming up May 7th will be Bob Bennett Stadium. We're going to dedicate the field to Bob Bennett. The mayor just sent me a note that they're going to make that Bob Bennett Day in Fresno. Long overdue. He is Fresno baseball. You have Biden and Bennett and Batesel, and those three guys have done so much for us. And having Bob come back after years away, that's going to be a big time. So we're working on that right now, but May 7th will be a big day for him.
Should be, you know, a great event for fans and celebrating the history of Fresno State. Yeah,
we need to fill that stadium up. So all you fans out there, get a ticket, come out to the baseball game. They're cheap, and we need to support him and honor him the way that it needs to be done right.
Fans can go online, as always, to www.gobulldogs.com.
Check
out the tickets.
Yep.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Again, I've been here now a little over a year, and it's been a great year, and I'm looking forward to many more years to come.
That's Jim Bartko, Fresno State Director of Athletics. Thanks for being in the studio with us today, Jim.
My pleasure. Always, Anytime.
We'll look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Sounds good. You got it. Thanks.
Thanks again to my co-host, Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko. And thank you for joining us this morning. And please join us again next Saturday morning at 8:30 for another Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.